Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There are now multiple reports. We know the Niners aren't happy with Jimmy Garoppolo. The latest is they'll swap him for Kirk Cousins. I mean, come on. Yeah, I get it if it's Deshaun Watson. Listen. I like Garoppolo more than all of you do. I see his weaknesses, but he's kind of a winner. He's a go-for-it guy. Like, he can move a little bit. I do worry about the injuries. I think sometimes his judgment on and off the field ain't great. But that feels like I'm not making a lot of moves. It's nothing against Kirk Cousins. But you're telling me there's a gap between Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins? A big gap?
No.
I don't get that at all. Listen, if you're going to move off Dak Prescott, he's got one playoff win, then go for Deshaun. But you wouldn't move off Dak for Kirk Cousins. You'd be like, what's the point? I got all my players like.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a quarterback, and again, no disrespect to Kirk Cousins, but like, I'm trying to think of a quarterback that I would move off of for Kirk Cousins.
I mean, can we stop this whole thing that Garoppolo can't play? Folks, if he completes one over-the-top throw, they beat the Chiefs. They got to a Super Bowl. And by the way, well, it's all Shanahan. His record's abysmal when Garoppolo doesn't start. He's like 6-25 or something.
Yeah, I like Garoppolo a lot more than most, too. I think everyone's really, like, freakishly overreacting to
I'm a Kyle Shanahan fan. Dude, you got to lighten up a little on Garoppolo. You got to lighten up a little. I didn't love the adult film star moment. There are times that his judgment, but you know what? He's kind of a let-it-rip guy. He's like Brady in that they're kind of good-looking, confident guys, and sometimes they just let it go. Like Derek Carr, who I like, but Derek Carr sometimes feels paralyzed. He won't let it go. Kirk Cousins does that. It's like, dude, let it go. Jimmy G lets her rip. And he throws some picks. But come on.
Yeah. I agree. That's feels ridiculous, actually.
Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Famer, Fox Sports NFL analyst, tied for the most all-time Pro Bowls at 14. Hall of Famer. He is now joining us live. So he probably wants Kansas City to win. I imagine you're a Chief. You want Kansas City to win. You can say that, right? That make you happier?
Yeah, that make me happier. I do believe that they're the better football team, but I wouldn't put anything past old Tom Brady and that unbelievable talented roster that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have. It's not just Brady. It's going to be a good game, but yeah, I think the Chiefs got this one.
Let me ask you this. I think most people believe the Chiefs are a better team. They're favored. They've won 25 of 26. Did you ever play for a team that you literally left the field and thought, we have better players than they do, a big game and lost? Because it's certainly, I thought Green Bay was better than Tampa, and Tampa walks away, kind of controlled them. Did you ever have games like that? A big game, you walked in the locker room and thought, we got better dudes than they do. How do we lose?
Yeah, that happens. Actually, that happens all the time. That's part of that, you know, where you play down to the level of your opponent. And then you get beat. So, you know, and that was what was scaring us, I think, about the Chiefs during the season is they were playing down to the level of their opponent. But as good teams do, and as you know, they're a Super Bowl caliber team, they won those games. I've been a part of that, and those are the games that you really kick yourself for, obviously, especially if it happens in the playoffs, where you think, and it sounds like you're alluding to, like, maybe Green Bay is actually better than Tampa, but they just couldn't get it done for whatever reason. Those hurt. But, yeah, it happens all the time. I think most teams have a couple of those games throughout the season.
So you were a wide receiver, like George Kittle. You like to block, or tight end. You like to block. You had no problem because your theory was always, if I block better, we run better, I'm more open when I go out to pass. So
yeah.
Mitchell Schwartz won't play. Eric Fisher won't play. So I was thinking about this over the weekend. That may force Kansas City. Would it force them to keep Travis Kelce in as a blocker occasionally because they don't trust the backup tight end? I mean, have you ever been asked in a game, listen, we're missing a tackle, Tony. We need you to stand and block more. Does that happen?
Yeah, it does happen, and it's frustrating as hell. I'll tell you that, because you want to go out and catch balls, especially if it's third and five or six, and they want you to stand and block. But what I would anticipate the Chiefs doing is they just bring an extra offensive lineman in there, because honestly, it's just called what it is. Travis is my boy. He's the best tight end in the league right now. Blocking is not his strong suit. So I think you bring an extra lineman in for those situations to let him block. Because if you leave Travis in there one-on-one with the defensive end, it's not to his advantage. I'm not saying he can't do it. It's going to be a lot tougher for him.
I want to talk about Matt Stafford is talented. Matt Stafford doesn't win games. That's my knock. Now, you could say it's the Lions. Do you think it's a massive upgrade in L.A. to have Stafford over Goff? What do you think?
I don't know if it's a massive upgrade. I do think it's an upgrade for sure. I'm actually kind of anxious to see what Sean McVay can do with Stafford, because you saw what he did with Goff. Goff, at the beginning, you know, when he first got into the league with Fisher, he wasn't doing that well. I mean, a lot of people were talking about maybe a bust at that point, but then, you know, Sean McVay, what he was able to do with him and utilize his talents and put him in a situation that utilizes his talents, let's make the system around what he does best, you were able to see Goff go out there and be a decent quarterback. And Stafford, I think he's gonna thrive. I think he's gonna do some good things. And I know he's excited about being with Sean McVay, having those good receivers with Woods and Kupp, and that good defense. I like what the Rams are able to do with this trade. I think it's gonna work out for him.
By the way, Deshaun Watson, whether the Texans want to acknowledge it or not, he is on the market. He wants to go. He has a no-trade clause, so he can dictate it. And if he doesn't show up, and if he's, you know, let's just say, I'm not showing up to camp, I'm not doing it. At some point, you'd have to make a, you know, maybe he sits out for a year. Is there a team that fits best for you?
Yeah, I love the 49ers. I'd love to see him get with Kyle Shanahan. I remember with Matt Ryan a couple years ago, remember he was MVP of the league when Kyle got there and they finally got going in that second year of that offense. I think Deshaun, his skills for what Kyle does with the boots and all that other stuff, and they are that quarterback away. I mean, a healthy away too. Obviously, they got to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. Imagine if they added Deshaun Watson to the mix. It would be dynamic. It would be incredible. It would be a match made in heaven, and Deshaun could stay with him for a long time. It's kind of like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, where they're going to be together for a long time because, you know, Patrick is so young. But besides the 49ers, maybe the Dallas or something, or the Jets, because they can actually trade for something like that. But if I'm Deshaun, it would be 49ers for sure, because you could go win a Super Bowl. Next year, they could go win a Super Bowl.
All right, his name is Tony Gonzalez, 17 NFL season, Chiefs and Falcons, tied for the most Pro Bowls of all time. Good talking to you. It's off season for you in about a week, so enjoy football. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You know, I was thinking about this as I was talking to Tony. So McVay, obviously at some point, Sean McVay went to Stan Kroenke, and Kroenke said, all right, let's get a deal done. And there's a report out there that McVay went to Stan Kroenke and just said, listen, we've hit it. We got to do something interesting. What if Stan Kroenke said, I'm not going to trade him? We've already given up 6 picks. So what if he didn't? Would that have been, you know, just think about this. The general rule in our business, in pro sports business, if you have a star, there's not many out there, take care of them. Okay, just make him as happy as you can. Some people are more needy, less needy, whatever. But what if Kroenke would have said, I can't do it? Now, then does McVay call his agent and say, I'm out. Get me out of my – does he do it to Deshaun Watson? I can't do it. Because the problem is – now, just think about this. And this is – I'm not saying this is ego. Sean McVay was considered 2 years ago the smartest young coach in football. Like John Madden great at 33 years old, right? Like Madden got hired. John Madden, if not for a fear of flying, would have stayed coaching in the NFL forever – And maybe been Belichick. I mean, Madden was that smart. He went on to business. He went to broadcaster. He was a home run. He went into business, the Madden game. And John Madden's loaded, super smart guy. But he hated flying. He just couldn't do it. He had a great fear of flying. So then he went into television, and he had the Madden mobile. And he, I mean, that was it. Or John would have stayed forever, right? and been a much bigger coaching phenom, although in coaching circles, we all know he's great. What if the owner says, I'm not going to do it? And McVay's sitting here thinking, I'm not going to get drubbed by Kyle Shanahan for the next 2 years because Shanahan's got his number. Shanahan was beating him with Garoppolo. He was beating him with Nick Mullins. I think it would have been interesting. I think Stan Kroenke was smart. When a great employee asks you something, you know, there's not a lot of Sean McVays on the market. So get it done. But it is interesting that the owner, and this is the LeBron factor. Because LeBron is in the market, it's changed everything. Now, you're going to think I'm absurd saying this, Joy. But the Dodgers wouldn't spend big money. They just kept winning division titles for years. They let Zach Greinke go, Bryce Harper. LeBron comes to town. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, we're going to spend a fortune on Mookie Betts. Now, Mookie Betts is great. Manny Machado. The Dodgers are like, okay, when the Lakers are good in town, they steal the sports page. They steal sports talk radio. So LeBron comes to town, and all of a sudden, the Clippers go after Kawhi, and there were reports that if the Clippers did not get Kawhi and Paul George, they were going to move the team to Seattle. So just think how aggressive the Clippers got when LeBron got to the Lakers, how aggressive the Dodgers got when LeBron got here, and now the Rams, 9 picks to get Goff out of town. You think I'm nuts. I think it's a LeBron factor.
No, it's not like sexy and exciting to talk about, but sports is also, at the end of the day, very much a business. And these owners need to make a lot of money. They spend a lot of money. They want to make that money back. And there is a market share and a, you know, people don't have money to get season tickets for every single sports team in the
Stan Kroenke owns the Rams. He's not going to have the third and fourth most. And then Justin Herbert comes into town and there's a buzz about him. And Kroenke's like, I just built a $9 billion stadium. We can't put people in it. I'm not going to be the fourth most popular team.
It's also, I think, a sign of great ownership that you trust the people that do the football things to do the football things. And that's what Sean McVay does.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, sticking with that trade, Matthew Stafford is on his way to L.A. as the newest member of the Rams. But before that deal went down, he made it clear to the Lions that there was one team he did not want to be a part of. He reportedly told the organization he was willing to be traded to any team except for the New England Patriots.
Pow.
Now, there is some immediate social media reaction that this has something to do with Matt Patricia being back with the Patriots, which I think could play a slight role, but I don't tend to think that that's why.
He's not even a coordinator there. And by the way, where's the report that Matt Patricia and Stafford hated each other? I never heard that.
I never heard that. Plus, also, it's kind of wild. Like, you had to assume that this information would get out. Like, you'd have to really hate Matt Patricia to turn that down and Belichick. What I think it is, actually, is that Matthew Stafford does not want that Tom Brady smoke.
Well, that ain't, you don't want to replace Howard Stern either. Yeah, there's no fun replacing goats.
Now, Cam Newton obviously came in and was the actual replacement.
But he didn't have a huge market.
Cam didn't have a huge market. And Cam is a completely different player stylistically than Tom Brady. So I don't think that Patriots fans, and certainly you and I or most of the media, didn't look at that as, okay, he's now the replacement for Tom Brady.
Yeah, it was just different.
If you make a trade for Matthew Stafford,
you'll get compared.
You're going to get compared to Tom Brady.
And also, New England's in a much bigger rebuild mode than anybody wants to admit.
No, they are.
Offensively.
They absolutely are.
They need 3 receivers, 2 tight ends, another star running back, and probably an upgrade. Their O-line's okay, but they have...
They are going to get 8 players that opted out back.
Mostly defensive guys.
Yes, so they're going to be a little bit better, but obviously they still don't have a quarterback. So, I don't blame Matthew Stafford for not going there. It's just when you see that headline, obviously people are going to think Patricia... Some are going to think the rebuild. I just personally feel like he doesn't want to go there and have to live it up to Tom Brady standards in New England. And that makes sense. But I think that's more of what it is. So Tom Brady is going to play in his 10th Super Bowl at age 43 on Sunday. LeBron is also playing at a high level at 36 years old, winning his 4th NBA title in his 17th season. And he thinks that success that he and Brady are having late in their careers proves that age is just a number.
What it does, it lets me know and lets both of us know that we can still play this game at a high level, no matter how many miles, how many games, no matter how many doubters, no matter the statistics of, you know, in our respective profession at our age, we can still dominate our sport.
He looks, I couldn't pull that off what he was wearing.
That look?
Yeah, like if you ever seen like people wear stuff, like I can't wear leather pants, but I've seen people do it and think that guy looks good in leather pants. Like what LeBron just wore, I can't pull off.
Yeah, there's certain things I can't wear as a short person.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm like, that's a tall lady's outfit. Like, the high-waisted, like, wide leg pants, like, that's not going to look like that on me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think if I wore that, I would look like I was trying to be a private detective for a bad B-level movie.
I think you might be able to pull it off. Okay. I've never seen you in a hoodie before, though.
Oh, I wear hoodies all the time.
You do?
Okay, if you guys get that outfit, I'll try it on tomorrow, see what it looks like. I have
I'll
Baker predict.
Mayfield gave you a hoodie. Did you ever wear Baker's hoodie?
I didn't.
Okay. I've never seen you in a hoodie before.
I wear them all the time.
Oh. I mean, I wear a hoodie pretty much every single day. I wore a hoodie this morning. But that aside, I do want to say this, though. While they are stretching the time, LeBron and Brady, and kind of smearing our idea of when your career should be over.
Right.
They're also very much outliers.
Yeah.
So this isn't, I don't think that this is going to start becoming this wild trend. I do think that guys are going to play later into their career, but to play at the level that LeBron James and Tom Brady are playing out,
historically,
it's not like a crazy comparing people in their later years to that. That's a little bit unfair, not only to everyone else, but also to Tom Brady and LeBron, who are absolutely outliers. Finally, a video recently surfaced of what looked like Aaron Rodgers riding around in Green Bay in the back of a pickup truck holding a case of beer. And he confirmed it is, in fact, Aaron Rodgers riding around Wisconsin in a pickup truck with a case of beer. He tweeted, yeah, that was me. It was David Bakhtiari's truck and soggy beer cases. I don't know. I think the last time I was in the back of a pickup truck was maybe when I was like 10 or something. Riding around Pittsburgh, but this is definitely a full-on Green Bay look for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's so funny that they're driving by the stadium. You can see the stadium in the background. Yeah. I've never been to the stadium before, but it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. I mean, there's just like rows of little houses and a gigantic football stadium. Apparently, I read a story years ago. Those people make a lot of money during the season on parking.
Oh, for sure.
You can park on, like, lawns.
That's how Marlins Park is in Miami.
Oh, I know. It's in Little Havana.
It's in the middle of Little Havana. And
the parking's
terrible.
I almost
always park in, like, either someone's driveway or literally on their front lawn. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for an All-Star game a few years ago. Their parking's not great.
It's not a great parking situation at all.
Terrible.
No, but you can make some money if you have if you live down there. But I love this look for Aaron Rodgers. Very fun.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
We're going to play. Greg Cosell had some thoughts late last week, if you don't remember, on Matt Stafford. He didn't know of the trade yet. I'll give you that coming up. Plus, goat versus goat. We go all the way back to Babe Ruth. Who are the better goats? The best goats.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There is no debating it. Tom Brady is considered the greatest of all time. The goat, as they call it. We're going to see how he stacks up against the other goats. Let's not waste time comparing him to, you know, just great quarterbacks. How about goat on goat comparisons? Joy, are you ready?
Let's do it. Tom Brady or Babe Ruth?
All right, Tom Brady or Babe Ruth. I'm going to go Tom Brady. Babe Ruth only won one American League MVP. Now, it's kind of confusing because back then you could only win one and then they had it and then they didn't. Baseball was very confusing in the 20s. It's very confusing. But in 22 seasons, Ruth won seven times. Brady's looking to win his seventh in 21 seasons. So it's very close, but I'm going to give Brady the edge on here.
Okay. Tom Brady or Muhammad Ali?
Now, Ali is, he was the first, if he was around today, if he was coming up today, my God, he was the first star of media. I'm going to go Brady. Remember, Muhammad Ali did not age particularly well. Most boxers don't. If you recall, he lost three of his last four fights got really ugly at the end. So he didn't end well, not very gracefully.
Tom Brady or Lionel Messi?
Messi's remarkable. If you're ever bored, go to the YouTube channel and watch his best goals. It's just insane. But it's Brady because Messi never won a World Cup. He won a bunch of UEFA titles, but you got to win a World Cup. Not saying it's easy, but you got to win at least one. He never did.
Tom Brady or Michael Phelps?
I'm going to go with Michael Phelps. Okay, people, first of all, he's a human fish.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's not a human football. 23 gold medals. Just say that out loud. If you knew somebody that had a gold medal, they're a celebrity. He's got 23. Nobody's ever done that. 8 medals just at the Beijing Olympics. There's never been anybody close. And it was not that he just narrowly won. There were times he won going away against the world's best swimmers. Phelps is the greatest, most dominant Olympian in the history of the Olympics. And that's been around longer than the National Football League.
Tom Brady or Wayne Gretzky?
Now, this is a tough one. But I'm going to go Brady, and here's why. Gretzky had 7 losing seasons. Gretzky didn't win when he left Edmonton. Brady's now winning in Tampa. Now, Gretzky did win 8 straight MVPs. But it was in Canada, and the conversion rate, that's like 6 here. So it's close, but he had too many losing seasons and didn't win elsewhere.
Tom Brady or Tiger Woods?
Okay, I'll go back to the age thing. Brady. So Tiger for 10 years was insane. He's second all time to Jack in majors. But because of back surgeries, he has 1 win, the 2019 Masters, in the last 10 years. Last 11 years. So again, Ali and Tiger were great, but at the end, it was a little clunky. It wasn't as artistic or elegant.
Tom Brady or LeBron James?
LeBron James. Now, you got to remember, LeBron's a 16-time All-Star in 18 seasons. So that means by, like, second year, you're like, oh, he could be the best in the game. I mean, he was a high-level All-Star. Also, 10 final appearances by the age of 36. Brady's in his 10th Super Bowl, but he's 43. And I also think that they have a lot in common. Physically, they've had 1 major injury. But I think athletically, I don't even think there's the second best player in the league in the NBA doesn't feel on an average night close to LeBron's ability emotionally and physically to take over the sport, where Brady has off Sundays.
Tom Brady or Michael Jordan?
I'm almost making 2 commentaries here. It's close, I'd say MJ. Both are, like, you know, like internationally known, but Jordan was 6 for 6 and 6 MVPs. He won an NBA title in 6 of his 15 years. His percentages are good. 10-time scoring champ, Brady only 4-time passing touchdown leader. So only 3 are better. LeBron, MJ, and Michael Phelps. That feels right.
That's pretty good.
Goat versus goat. You know, you never know. Like, nothing against Babe Ruth. I was a very big fan of Babe Ruth. Remember the games as a kid. But here's the thing, though. When Babe Ruth played baseball, everybody else had a second job. So he was beating, like, roofers and longshoremen for World Series crowns. I have to consider that, right?
Yes.
Like, he was, like, he'd literally be, what do you do for a living? I'm a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. What else? I lay tile. I mean, people had to have second jobs. So it wasn't like, it was just different.
I think the eras matter.
So do I, yeah. So we were talking about Matt Stafford, and obviously he now is coming to Los Angeles. I think he'll win games. I mean, Goff won games, and I think he's a better arm talent, a little better athlete, a little older, gotten banged up a few times, had some injuries. Goff pretty much injury-free outside of banging up his hand this year. But the remarkable thing about Stafford, I don't remember a losing player at quarterback having a market this big. Reportedly last week, 1/3 of the NFL teams were interested in Stafford. I'm not disputing his talent. I've talked about it for years. I get it. But generally in baseball, you could be a losing player, but your stats tell me you're a great hitter. And in basketball, stars are stars. Like Bradley Beal's lost a bunch of games. LeBron would take him in 2 seconds if he could. Talent's talent. But in football with quarterbacks, like you get blamed and you get the credit for winning. So generally, if you're not winning games, and again, I'm not asking him to win Super Bowls or beat Aaron Rodgers, but you got to beat the Bears and Vikings. He hasn't. It's a losing record. But Greg Cosell came on last week, 41 years looking at film, and I think this weekend when I was texting executives around the league, they all sounded a lot like Greg Cosell last week in the herd.
Matthew Stafford has special talents, and I think we've seen his physical tools over the years. I think we've seen his toughness and competitiveness over the years. We know the way NFL teams hoard draft choices, but if it's between drafting Wilson from BYU and trading for Matthew Stafford, I'm trading for Matthew Stafford in a heartbeat.
Wow. The other thing where people criticize the Rams for giving up all those draft picks. So I just want you to consider this. It's something to think about. And you'll listen to a lot of picks. But has anybody ever noticed, I'm sure you have, this is not a revelation, it feels like mostly the same teams drafting at the top of the first round every year, and it doesn't matter. Why is it always the Jets and Detroit and Jacksonville and Washington and Cincy and Carolina? The Jacksonville Jaguars have had a top 10 pick 13 times 14 years. So the Rams are telling you, if you got the right owner and the right GM and the right coach and a good scouting department, it's the first round picks, you'll figure out how to get talent. The first round, the top pick, like I've talked in my career to a lot of GMs, and they'll say, listen, top six or seven picks, you can really get a transformational player. You start getting into like 15, 16, 17, you'd rather just have second round picks because you don't have to pay them anything. I mean, look at the Colts roster. Jonathan Taylor, second round. Darius Leonard, second round. Michael Pittman, second round. The Colts roster is a lot of number twos and three picks, and Ballard's aced it. So, and he gave up a first round to get DeForest Buckner. It didn't hurt them last year. So, I don't know. The Rams have drafted very, very well outside of the first round. They trust their scouting department. And if you do, go for it. It's risky, but they win a lot. It's the Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.